Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17, verse number 11. Excuse me. God is indeed concerned what you think. God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is August the 3rd, 2025. We are rapidly moving through 2025. We are now fully into the second part of 2025. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You only need to do this one time. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. It is just west of Payne Avenue, signal light west of the Needmore Road I-75 exit ramp. Bible study at 9:30 a.m., worship at 10:30 a.m., and today on the first Sunday of the month, and our afternoon service will be at 1 p.m., no 5 p.m. service today. And we'll assemble again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We'll continue in our study, our summer series, in the book of Romans, the righteousness of God. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, and FM 104.3, or online by streaming at thesoulofdayton.com, WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road, Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414. Or you may email me directly at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. The law of the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Almighty God. Keep this in mind, that the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you have learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testaments. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 in the Old Testament, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 in the New Testament, not to add to or to take away from God's word. We are not to tamper with God's word. We're simply to obey that which God has commanded us, specifically in the New Testament, which covenant we are under today. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? We've completed the two-part subject that I talked about and mentioned to you for both the 20th and the 27th broadcasts of July, Fundamentals of Living. And I hope that you were able to listen to those. And if not, again, as I said earlier, you can download those and re-listen to those by going to the Needmore Road website and Going to that Needmore Road website and playing those back and studying through those. We live in a time where people do a lot of purchasing and shipping themselves, and they sometimes they have to ship something that is deemed fragile. And so the shipping companies have a number of labels. One of the things that you might put on a package is a label that says handle with care. Another might be fragile. When people see fragile, they know that that package also is to be handled with care. I have seen over the years these stickers that parents will put in their back window, and it will say handle with care, baby on board, meaning they have children, specifically infants in a car seat that's there. And those things are all good. Handle with care. But you know, when you think about these words and the fact that we will put them on packages of glass, packages of things that we, material things that we deem to be fragile or and very important to us, I want you to consider the fact that these three words, handle with care, that they have an application to the greatest thing that every human being possesses in this life, and that is their soul. That soul that has been given to you at conception, that soul should also be handled with care. You know, the Bible is clear and lets us know that everyone is on a journey, and that soul that each and every one of us that we have, that soul is on a journey. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse number 18, we observe, "And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died." You see, when death occurs, it is the separation of the soul from the physical body, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7. The soul is too precious to neglect the watchwords, handle with care. And so we do not want it, meaning our soul, delivered to judgment, battered and damaged. Handle with care. Let's think about those three words for a few moments today with respect to man's soul and the fact that we should handle that which God has given us with care. First, may I suggest to you that when we think about those three words with respect to the soul, that is proof that the object is of value. If we consider those three words with respect to the soul, it lets us know that the soul has value. The major reason for this is for man's handling his soul with care is because of the value that is placed upon it. So, you know, when you go to whatever your favorite shipping location is, if you're shipping something, you know, with U.S. Postal Service, if you're shipping it with DHL or FedEx or UPS, it doesn't matter for the purpose of this illustration which of one of those carriers you are using. They will ask you this question of the item that you're shipping that you mark handle with care. They'll say, well, what is the value of the object that you're shipping? For our consideration, the soul is worth more than the entire world. Jesus in Mark chapter 8 made this point very clear. Verses 36 and 37, Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The soul is priceless. There is no value in terms of whatever the richest man on earth could not pay anyone enough money for their soul. The soul is worth so much that Jesus came into the world to save it. Jesus came because every human soul is precious and is valuable. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, And she will bring forth the son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, because souls are precious. A soul is so precious that God gave his son in behalf of people's souls. So many people are familiar with John 3:16, but we sometimes look at John 3:16 in the abstract, but look at it in the context of handle with care. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father sent the Son gave his life because human souls are valuable. Paul would then point out in Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here God shows how much value there is in a soul. It is so valuable that Christ himself was willing to die for our salvation. He was willing to die for human souls. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, the prophet Isaiah looked forward to the coming of the suffering servant, looked forward to the one who would come, who would provide the redemption and the salvation that we so desperately need, because our souls are valuable. Peter would emphasize the first the same point in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 24. And finally, as we think about this point, it is our souls are so precious that it was so dear that Jesus is now preparing or has prepared a place for those individuals who would be obedient to him to be able to go. John 14:1-4, Jesus said, I prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. Dayton, are you listening? Handle with care secondly indicates that the object can be damaged, you know, or lost. That is true with respect to the soul. While the soul cannot be destroyed in the sense of that it would never exist again, the soul can be damaged and it can be lost eternally. The soul may be lost because of sin that is not repented of before one dies, where one does not make obedience to God's word. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, the prophet Isaiah makes that point clear, that individuals need to be obedient to God's word. When an individual chooses to not be obedient to God's word, there is nothing that God can do for that soul. It's what the prophet Isaiah emphasizes. Jesus himself in John chapter 8 and verse number 21 says, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. If a person dies in their sin, they are not able to go to that place that the Lord has prepared for those who have been obedient to him, those who have been obedient to the Father's will, and who has and that place He has prepared for them. But they will be cast away. That soul will be separated from God for all eternity. In the second to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 27, the Lord says, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." The soul is valuable. The majority, Jesus says, of individuals, however, will be lost. We don't know what that number is, but it is clear that the scriptures point out that the vast majority of people throughout this dispensation, throughout human history, is going to be lost. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, "The way to life is narrow, and there are few who go in after it. But the majority of the people," Jesus says, "are going in the broad and wide way that leads to destruction." Listen to what the Lord says. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who find it." It is a statement of biblical fact that the majority of individuals aren't interested in protecting that which has this great value. Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, as he talked about the end of time, and in verse 41, he says, "Then he will also say to those on his left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, again, it is clear that the scriptures over and over and over and over again emphasize that the soul can be damaged or lost. And there are the vast majority of individuals who truly don't care. You know, just recently, I had an opportunity to be overseas. And I looked at the teeming numbers of humanity in different parts of the world where I was, and individuals who were not interested in spiritual things, people who were just going about their business and who were engaged in all kinds of things, many of which were not of a spiritual nature. And even those who were engaged in religious activities, whereas Paul, as he came into the city of Athens in Acts 17, and they were engaged in these things that were contrary to God's word. And Paul was provoked as he saw these things. And those of us who believe God's word, when we see individuals who just openly disregard what God says, they do not value their souls. Third, we would observe the phrase "handle with care" are also words of caution. Dayton, are you listening? You know, we should be cautious in handling not only our souls, but we need to be cautious in our handling of God's word. The word of God is nothing to be trifled with. The word of God is nothing to take lightly. The word of God is powerful, is active, and we will observe that. Paul, in writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, reminds us, "As nevertheless she will be saved in childbearing, they continue in faith, love, holiness, with self-control." Way to handle God's word correctly. And I actually meant to look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed." But notice the latter part of this: rightly dividing the word of truth, or handling correct the word of truth. And Jesus, in his day, when he was on earth, he had this challenge, he had this problem with the Jews. They were not treating the word of God properly. In John chapter 5, Jesus, as he laid forth the fourfold witness, Jesus reminded of these Jews. He said, "You search the scriptures," meaning they were going to the Old Testament. He says, "For in them you think you have eternal life." They were looking at the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, trying to find eternal life. He says, "You're going there for the wrong reason. You did not handle the word of God with care." He says, "Because they are they which testify of him." They rejected the one that the Old Testament was prophesying about, looking for something that wasn't there. What was there was alerting them to the coming of the Messiah. You know, we should use caution in believing teachers and preachers. There are a lot of people, and you need to listen, including with what I'm saying, in view of the Word of God. This is why we say every Sunday, search the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Go to the Word of God and examine God's word. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You must take a person's message and examine it in light of God's word to make sure that they are handling aright God's word. And we ought to be cautious in our day-to-day living to make sure that we are living in accordance to God's word because of the great value that of our soul, because of the great value of God's word. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Dayton, are you listening? Now, think about what we've just said. Handle with care is proof of the object of value. Handle with care indicates that the object can be damaged or lost. This is true of a soul. Handle with care are words of caution, and so we must handle with care God's word. In spite of the value of the soul that we've already observed in God's word, many people are indifferent toward their soul. Many people, majority of people are indifferent toward their soul. Now, many years ago, a professor from the Department of Psychology at Vassar College conducted a survey of personal values. And I'm going to look at this old survey and then compare it to something that was done by the Pew Research not more than a couple of years ago. This particular survey that was done several decades ago by Professor M. Brewster Smith. He made this survey. It was published in the Journal of Psychology. He chose a typical city of about 160,000 people, which would fit in well, because that's what Dayton is. Dayton is a city of about 160,000 people. And he selected a cross-section of the population. Here are the questions that he posed. From your experience, what would you say are the most important things to you? What sort of things mean most to you? What things are you most interested in? What things do you care about most? And here are some of the results from this survey. 56% of the people stated the economic security was what they were interested in. 46% stated that home and family life was of value to them. 25% said liberty and freedom. 13% stated world peace. 10% education. 8% religion. 4% decency and morality. 2% stated being a good citizen. Now, the interesting thing about this is just 2 years ago, in 2023, here were the top 10 things that individuals said were the most important things to them. Inflation, healthcare affordability, ability for Democrats and Republicans to work together. Number 4, drug addiction. Number 5, gun violence. Number 6, violent crime. Number 7, federal budget deficit. Number 8, state of moral values. Number 9, illegal immigration. Number 10, the quality of public K-12 education. And of course, we know that that changed even more. Some of these flipped and got moved around, like illegal immigration was pushed to number 1. But the cold facts are that most people want material security more than they want God or spiritual liberty. And politicians have taken note of this and have offered the people more and more of everything for less and less of nothing. You know, in a sermon against materialism, Jesus said, "A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. It was Jesus' teaching that security is first of all a spiritual rather than an economic matter. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Most people's philosophy of life is summed up by the rich man who said, quote, "And all I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease." Luke 12, verse 19. You see, in spite of the value of a soul, many people are indifferent toward it. In handling the soul with care, we need to look to Jesus as our example. It was Jesus who, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, he is our example. Jesus was going about at an early age his father's business, Luke 2, verse 49. Jesus complied with the Father's will to fulfill all righteousness. It was Jesus who is our example that we are to follow. It is Jesus who is our pattern. It is Jesus, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29. It is Jesus who helps us to understand the value of a soul. Dayton, are you listening? Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God has a plan of redemption through faith, repentance, confession of faith, completing in water immersion for the forgiveness of your sins. If we can assist you, reach out to us.